now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our very special guest is old friend Masaki Miyagawa. We got a lot to discuss, so without any further ado, Masaki, welcome back to the Switch.
Hey, James. Glad to be back. And yeah, a lot of things going on in the world. It's 2022. We're in it now.
Happy New Year. And, you know, just to get the ball rolling, this article was brought to my attention. I really haven't fleshed it out yet. I've read it, and I've read a subsequent article. I'm going to do more research on it. But do you remember what that truck accident a few weeks back with the 100 monkeys on board? Apparently, they were
people have been sending me that. And
is there anything to that story?
It's hard to say, but I think that it's a great promo for what may be coming.
Yes.
And, you know, as far as what's happened, actually, in the decades leading up to where we are now, but let's say in the last 2 years, the so-called conspiracy theorists have seemed to be right every time, and the so-called experts and authorities have flip-flopped and been wrong. So, as far as, I will say this, as an esoteric reader and just someone that had a general interest like you, James, in the alternative research field and quote unquote, what is going on? What the hell is going on planet Earth? Number one, first, you have to know what's on the board, or at least fill out and feel the edges of reality as much as you can to understand what you're dealing with. Put everything on the table, right? Most people don't even spend 5 minutes these days to look at anything. And they don't even have a good grasp of the fake above board history. So how the hell are you supposed to know what's really going on if you don't even know the fake story first to break away from and get into the hidden history, right? Now, as a numerologist, esoteric reader, and I told this to Robert Phoenix before, astrologer Robert Phoenix, who you've had on your show also, I said, Robert, one of the reasons why I respect you is you have an accurate read of what's going on. It doesn't matter if it's socially acceptable, if people like it or not, you give them the cold hard truth. Sometimes the truth is a bitter pill to swallow. That's the thing, right? The story of Jesus, and there's a lot of Christians out there who they don't understand. Now, there's good Christians too, but I'm just saying the majority, as in anything, the mass, right? They don't understand. If you tell the truth, people are going to throw damn stones at you. You better be ready. People want to hear what they want to hear in general. They don't want to hear the truth, right? So going back to the whole monkeys, the 12 monkey situation, just go read the white papers and the war game plans that have been written about by social engineers, a lot of them British, going back at least a century. But it's probably going back to like the mid-1800s, because that's the time when Darwin, these survival of the fittest type thinking, which has always been there as far as like the Chosenite Masonic thinking.
Malthusian types, yeah.
We're the elites. We got the special blood, which taps into your work, you know, getting into the whole, you know, the reptilian topic and the ET interdimensional, because we're not just dealing. It's because, and let me tell you, James, we can get into it later, but this year in particular, I think the veils are getting so thin. It's kind of, you know, I couldn't tell you what we're going to see, but it will become more and more apparent that the normie 3D thinking is not going to explain what's going on. So
it'll be completely inadequate.
So we're dealing with a situation where from at least 150 years ago, probably more, there have been plans that have been openly written about how they're doing us a favor because there's too many useless eaters and cattle, so-called human cattle, roaming the planet. So they have various plans to downsize the population. Of course, this is all for your own good, right? Because they have appointed themselves as the so-called caretakers, you know, the inverted thinking, but they're the caretakers of the earth. So they got to do the culling, right? It's written about openly. But the thing is, it's like, wasn't it Hitler that said it the people, the advantage for us is the people don't read. They don't read the damn books and white papers. And an interesting thing is, James, that I think we all knew this to some extent, but in the last 2 years, the experience has been so blatant that in my mind, I see myself as a fool in some ways because I knew this, but I really thought in some ways that if we just put the information out there, if we just present the facts, we could turn things around.
The dramatic suddenness, Misaki. We just didn't think it would happen so fast.
So now we can clearly see a lot of people did wake up, and it was good the information was put out there and the stories were told, right? But just like in animal psychology, it is known, and this has been said for a long time, it's just it really hit home in the last 2 years, 85% are pure follower beta cattle. You know, the so-called Goyim cattle. But guess what? This is not particularly a on any one group because look at Israel. Well, 85% of them are Goyim cattle too because, you know, so that it goes right or left, conservative, liberal, 85% are always followers, right? Now, you may have different trends, right? But in general, 85% are followers, and I think they say it's like the 10% misleaders and then the 5% poor righteous teachers, right? So in a way, I was misunderstanding the situation, thinking that the 85% could be awoken. What really has to happen is we activate the 5% of alphas, those stubborn MFs that have a singular mind of independence, and we're self-starters, and we're smart enough to see what's going on, you know? Once the 5% are activated, that actually activates the 85%, right? Or the majority of more than the 5%. So I think that's happened. And, you know, we are seeing a separation too. A lot of that 85%, I think you're going to see disastrous consequences of the karmic actions that they've done in the last year or two. That's, you could read that into the trends esoterically, but we are in, and I'll say this too. I don't come from a Christian background, but I have a great deal of respect for the real true Christian people of the faith, that they understand that we answer to a higher power. We answer to the cosmic laws, right? And also, people that dismiss things in the Bible, you are foolish, because there are so many timeless stories that were incorporated into the Bible, right? And also, for whatever reason, James, I think you know, we are running on a biblical script for whatever reason. So you better pay attention, because in our popular Western culture, even if you're a pure atheist, the foundations of Western civilization are built on the church. When these biblical stories, right? Whether you believe in them or not is aside from the point. The fact of the matter is there are a lot of teachings and general philosophical thought that were the underpinning of the civilization. But not only that, it forecasts what's coming, and it explains a lot of where we are through the Christian language. You understand? So I'm not a Christian, but I think a lot of these good old boys, say here in the American South and the flyover, they have a much better handle and understanding of what's happening. At least they have the concept of there's forces of light and dark. And guess what? Especially this year, I think by the end of the year, you could see serious shortages food-wise and, you know, material goods. And for people that are pure materialists, or what Christians would call Satanists, right? If everything material is taken away and you're a pure materialist atheist, you will not survive. Because look at the history of slavery, or, you know, there were the indentured servants also in the colonial history of U.S. How are you going to survive hundreds of years when there's no hope? There's no light at the end of the tunnel. You don't know when you're going to get out, right? Well, a lot of blacks in the South and the other states had slaves too. They had a spiritual power. That's what kept them going, right? If you're a pure materialist and you have no so-called magic around you, you don't have that soul power, the spiritual component, you could die outside in one night in the cold if in your mind it's all over, right? So it's really that do you have the will to survive? You know, do you have a greater understanding? And I think, though, also, James, at some level, this is a lot of what's happening is it's supposed to happen, and it's pre-programmed in a way, because I stand on the shoulders of many people. And a lot of those people took the quote unquote juice, right? Are they bad people? No. And a lot of them are genius in what they do. A lot of the people I know are musicians or artists, and I wouldn't be the person I am today if it wasn't for those people. But just like in the biblical scriptures say, we are in the time of the separation. It's the separation of the wheat and the chaff, right? We're at the fork in the road, and actually that door closed, in my opinion, last week, January 18th. Because we were in a period, if you look at the astrological trend, for 18 months, and, you know, it's really connected to Trump also. We were in a Gemini phase of flipping back and forth, you know, the opposition, the two sides, the two brothers at war, which is a theme in his human history, the Enki-Enlil battle, the conservative, the liberal, all of these things, right? The jabbed and unjabbed and so forth. That was back and forth, the polarity of the Gemini, the sign of Gemini. And every 18 months, the planetary trend changes. They call the lunar nodes. And we went into Taurus. So we went from the Mercurial Gemini flipping back. It's both, right? Well, is Trump good or bad? Is he a hero or a villain? He's both, right? Well, we went from that last week to when January 18th hit, we went into a fixed sign of Taurus. So I think the door closed, and wherever people are in their thinking and their mentality is where they're going to be now going forward. And there's only two ways to go, right? It's a fork in the road. And I've seen people that they think they can keep their head down and go along to get along, and they are not understanding where we are. Number one, do you know where you are on this timeline? Because that's very important, you know. Farmers know, you better know what part of the year you're in and what season you're in, because there's certain things that happen and certain things that, you know, you could be very successful, but you better, you know, take note of where you are in your environment. People are not, the average person is not very aware of history, even the fake constructed whitewash history, right? And the fact that we are at the reset, we've heard a great reset, right? Well, we're at the, we completed the great year, the, is it the 26,000 year cycle, the 12 houses of the zodiac?
Kali Yuga.
So, and there's multiple cycles, right? We're at a nodal point of multiple cycles resetting. But at least 20, you know, the 12 signs in every like 13,000 years or so, the midpoint, right? That's when the earth changes and cataclysms hit. So the last, so when we were at the midpoint of the cycle, that was the flood, right? And now we've completed the 12 houses. So we're in the transition of ages. And guess what? I think that ultimately it will be a positive thing, but it's like you're trying to steer the ship and change direction against cosmic tides. This is turbulence, James. This is what you call birthquake. And I think specifically this year, you could say this is a birthquake, and it's like a woman, when a woman is birthing, when she has a baby, it's often not a silent affair. There's hollering, she's, you know, clenching her hands, and
it's called labor, you know, for a reason.
Yeah, right. So we're going to see an uptick in earth changes. We're going to see riots and revolutions, probably a reset of the economy and all these things. And it's plainly obvious, and a lot of us have been hearing this for decades, actually. And when it hits, a lot of people will think it just dropped out of the sky. But you, if you have the eye to see and your ears were open, you can't say you didn't have ample time to prepare, because a lot of us have known this for decades, you know?
Yeah, you go by the book, which Barbara Bartholik always referred to as her Bible, William Bramley's Gods of Eden, which is an absolute classic in our field. And, you know, he goes chapter and verse, so to speak, about the various plagues that bedeviled mankind through the ages, and how when one really studies the chronicles of that time, those plagues were almost always accompanied by signs and wonders, visitations, you know, UFOs and
comets,
yeah. Comets and all kinds of stuff. Things were going on. It was a scheduled periodic culling to keep the program, you know, from going off the rails, right? And so what you were just talking about, this acceleration, and with the benefit of hindsight, of course, we could really see it, especially if we break it down into decades. The Vietnam War really kickstarted this. Oklahoma City just supercharged it, right? We could, and then, of course, a lot of people forget the first Gulf War. Suddenly, we're just one big happy family, a coalition, you know, coalition of the willing, all piling on to destroy one country, right? People didn't see the significance of that, but George the Elder did. He talked about the New World Order, all that stuff openly back then. So we're at the stage now, getting back to the 12 monkeys / 100 monkeys. Interesting how they make those neural pathway associations, huh, Misaki? Where we're primed with movies like Outbreak, World War Z, and you know, the 100 monkeys with Bruce Willis and Brad Pitt. And then we say, well, we've seen this script before, but you pointed out ultimately a positive outcome, because in this case, because we are manifestors ourselves, we write the ending. those of us that have an idea, yeah, of what's, I mean, going on, right?
The thing is that the powers that be, who may not be quite human as most people understand it, they're on the playing board the same as us. So they don't have a complete handle on what's going on. They're just, it's a game. We're in a game. We're in a cosmic game. we live in a Gemini world of polarity, right? But the thing is, most people don't know we're in a game. So how are you supposed to play the game if you don't even know you're in a damn game? You're in the Squid Games and people are getting eliminated. You don't even know that you're in a game, right? So I think that's a benefit of the esoteric work and the self work, because you need a balance in all things. And generally there's two sides, like in the yin yang symbol, you have the sacred masculine, which not a lot of people talk about. That's the logic. Those are the hard facts, right? But if you're only dealing with the hard science and above board facts and what you can see and quantify, you're also missing half the equation, which is the sacred feminine. That's the intuition, the deeper philosophical view, the abstract, right? So if you take that Jungian view or the Carl Jung archetypal view, which taps into all the esoteric reading systems, the signs and symbols of reality of the universe typically will not tell it to you directly in words. But if you look at the repeating patterns of reality, the archetypal signs and symbols, which can be found in astrology, tarot, numerology, it is plainly obvious that we live in a matrix system. Because how can you give an accurate reading unless the world or the realm we live in is built on certain principles, right? That's what these archetypes tap into, is that there's, it's interesting, James, there's just enough detail in elements to make it look random, but few enough that if you study any one of these esoteric systems, you can easily break it down. So it's just interesting how there's enough fine detail to fool the average person. And I'm just me. Everything's random, really. Anyone that has been through enough life experience, or let's say that you've had an esoteric reading, or you are a reader yourself, if you think about why should this work, why does this even work? My opinion, the answer is we live in a matrix. Because this is a question that has been asked, and it's actually coming to the fore now with the cryptocurrency in the metaverse virtual reality, right? That is really going to put in people's face these questions about what is reality. But then even the scientists, right, the so-called experts, they say, we don't know why, but there are clear signs of intelligent design. We don't know how it happened. We don't know why these repeating patterns happen, but they are there.
Because the reductionists, even the scientists say, they have to try to quantify in a formula. Mm-hmm. You
know? So you can call it what you want, but we basically do live in a matrix system. And this is also why I think the experience of sages, mystics, but also the MK Ultra experience, the MyLabs and so forth, these are all very informative, because the time we're in, you have to think multidimensionally. You have to think of the abstract to what the normal person is aware of, because this is all very relevant and it is going to become explicit, James, I think. The more and more we go forward, if you're not aware of it, you're going to be dealing with it anyway. Yeah.
Well, a good refresher course for all of that, and I'm just getting into it now, is to go back and watch the entire series of The Fringe TV show, because they delve into all of these issues. And I'm just getting into it now. I'm like, the second season, like about this 6th, 7th episode, is getting really interesting. And you look about things like the Fibonacci sequence, for example, that just shouts at you that there is an order, there is integrated whole, and they keep trying to come up with names for it. You know, the Tao, the big theory about everything. Yes, there's only one thing. There can only be one thing, and endless variations thereof of the one thing. So you have things like the Fibonacci sequence, and you know, the rings and trees. Everything tells you that we're part of a system, right? What's interesting is what you're talking about, how reality as we understand it is really going to get like wobbly. What's been described as the implicate order, the unseen reality, which has a direct bearing on in our visual perspective and our life perspective, the physical reality. There have been so many things, not only celestially and cosmically, that's causing the fundamental conscious to change. But on top of that, the harping, the scalar waves, everything else, the incessant chemtrailing, which is worse now than I've ever seen it, not saying a lot, right? All that electrodynamically, along with Planet X, along with all the stuff that's going on, you're right, this is a biblical phase we're going through. Those people who are just mired into the reductionist thinking and have hopelessly given their minds away, authority figures always telling them what to do and who to hate, etc., etc. And I don't care if it sounds elitist. At this point, I'm beyond caring about things like that. For people who cannot understand things at a very basic level, you're looking at what amounts to a different life form. They may look human, they may be human, but if their thinking power potential has been shrunk to that extent, where they're just obedient automatons and believe whatever they're told and do whatever they're told to do. It sounds elitist, but it's not. It's like they're not fully actuated, fully potentialized human beings. There's something less than that. And that goes back to the Goyim concept, goes back to the cattle herding concept. Just like a dog breeder brings out particular qualities and tries to reduce or eliminate other qualities. That's exactly what's happened with what we see as the human race, or the variant of the human race, Masaki. So we're going to be going into a phase now with all these earth changes being written off as climate change, because that's the next big threat, right? It has been going on for some time. When they crank up the 5G and the 6G, we're going to see rents and tears in the fabric reality that we haven't seen. I mean, mystics and psychics and what have you have seen them for a long time. It's going to intensify. And then finally, at some point, there's going to be a tipping point. And, you know, the fabric of reality will be rent asunder, and who knows what's going to happen at that point.
Well, it's like you said, what we are dealing with is cosmic. This is cosmic. So, in a way, though, it's the greatest show on earth, right? I mean, I think you know, James, as far as the talk, everybody's watching what the humans are going to do, because this is like, you know, this is the cliffhanger, and we're going to see the conclusion. I think it could be in our lifetime. Definitely, I think was it 2100? I think we're going to see how this is going to play out by the end of this century, because it's scripted that way, but then there's a lot of other indicators that point to that, right? Are you aware of Goro Adachi, the time rivers?
You know, I was just thinking about that guy this morning, and
okay,
you know, because you're the one who introduced me to him, but please, yeah, elaborate.
Okay, so in this, for whatever reason, this has come, well, maybe it's because it's Mercury retrograde, so old themes are coming back, but it's come up in conversation a few times recently for me. But so Goro Adachi, he was he might be the first person to really formalize and put out extensive work on the so-called synchromysticism, which is a term that he does not like, because basically people that wrote off of his work created that term, but it's popularly known as synchromysticism, where you, and I think he uses like phi ratio in addition to solar cycles and position of the sun, earth, you know, other planets against news events. And it could be something as insignificant to some people as on a show of The Simpsons on this date, something happened, and then based on that, and then there was a global ritual at the Olympics or Super Bowl and the positioning on the planet. Therefore, if we project forward using the phi ratio at this date, another event should happen. And actually, I would say his work is 100%, you know, those dates, something did happen, but often you have to look back retroactively and say, okay, we were predicting this. It was a little bit off from what we thought, but it now we can reassess, you know. But very interesting work. I think you have to be some kind of genius or like savant, let's say, to even, because, you know, I'm no dummy, James, and I've looked at his work and I don't completely understand it. But, you know, when you're looking at something and you know it's significant, you just don't understand, okay, what does it all mean? But I would say his work is highly significant. But Goro Adachi, his first book was called Time Rivers. So his theory was that the Nile River, every nook and cranny and turn in the river corresponds to a major historical date and event. And in so going towards the interior of Egypt, I think is called the Upper Egypt, because the upper is actually lower, right? So then starting towards the interior of Africa, and then following up north, right? The start at the interior would be like the beginning of time. And then as we reach the river delta going to the Mediterranean, that's the end of time. And we're basically at the delta now. So we're in like that last 100 years. And what happens when you hit the Mediterranean? Because that would be the end of time. Well, I don't know if he says this, but I kind of suspect, you know, it could be that maybe when the time dilation or the time technology goes public, because that would be the end of time, right? Linear time. But interestingly enough, he also theorizes or proposes that if you overlay the Nile and the Euphrates, which is basically in Iraq, the Babylon, right? That there's an overlay and or there's some kind of connection, and maybe when we hit the river delta, we're in a loop and it loops back to Babylon. What do you think about that, James? Pretty trippy, huh?
Well, clearly for the survivors of these treatments, that's what they want them to be immersed in, whether it's just automatons and you know, servo mechanisms or whatever the case may be. This Hollywood Babylon has just been in your face, has been for a long time with the Super Bowl extravaganzas, et cetera, et cetera. But now it's just so in your face. And people forget what ancient Babylon was all about. You know, fathers pimping out their daughters to gain favor with the court and gain favor, you know, with the priesthood, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that's, you know, just wholesale sacrifice and all kinds of evil stuff. So it makes perfect sense from that standpoint of this force and bringing it out to the fore again at this time.
You were talking about the 12 monkeys and it's kind of a psychic driving, right? That people don't understand the significance of arts and entertainment, films and movies. Also, that would include graphic novels, so-called comic books. This is magic. Because what is, and I actually don't like the term magic. I just think of it as, you don't know that's the way things work, right? Because magic is something that seems out of the ordinary and it's magical, right? But in the ancient past, they just did things and they're like, you don't know that. This is how we do things. You don't think it, the magician doesn't think of himself as magical. He just does it, right? He just manifests, right? But the impulse starts with the thought form and the focus of attention, right? So anything that focuses your attention, whether it's 100,000 people in a physical location at, say, Burning Man, the Super Bowl. But now, of course, virtually, anything that focuses attention, so you could have a live stream with like millions of people watching, that is a ritual event because you're focusing the attention, right? So this is exactly what arts and entertainment do. The natural born artist is ruled by the sign of Pisces, right? And Pisces connects to other dimensions. It's that water sign, that water membrane. If you've ever seen Star Trek, or even I'm sure there's some MyLab stories of where you pass through a portal, and sometimes it's described as like heat, like, you know how the, when the air's hot, you see heat waves, it's like shimmering. This is what Rock Castaldo has said, that he had a portal experience and he said the air started shifting, like it was like wavy, and he passed through. Well, that's that total Piscean water sign, right? And Pisces is also the high priest or priestess, and it rules fantasy and entertainment, right? That's what Hollywood is. It's all fantasy, right? So you combine that all together, and I think most artists are not completely aware of the overview. They just do it because forces work through them and they have a natural creativity to express, right? But in point of fact, they are magicians, if you want to call it that. They are magicians because they focus the attention and they shift the reality, you know? And if you look at, if you're familiar with like Watchmen, Alan Moore, the Magus Alan Moore, he's a so-called comic book writer. This guy is a Magus. He looks like Gandalf, and he is Gandalf. And you know what Alan Moore says? In the past, magic was called the art. He goes, but I take that literally, where magic is art and vice versa. So, and he says that, you know, the magical spells is nothing but spelling, right? You are conjuring words together for an effect. And also the magician's grimoire is nothing more than a grammar book of spells or spelling, right? So you can look at a comic book or any of these series like Star Trek, Star Wars, as a tome, as a book, as a guide, that there are themes in there that are highly significant. It is not just entertainment, James. Do you understand what I'm saying? And what's interesting is recently I've been watching a lot of movie recaps. So there's YouTube channels that are like 10-minute recaps, right? And I'm specifically focused on more of the sci-fi horror genre. Luckily, I haven't got any nightmares because I've watched quite a few now. But even the crappiest movie, if you recap it in 10 minutes, it's actually pretty good because that's probably exactly what the pitch was, right? If you're from like LA or you've ever worked with films and those kind of things, you got to pitch a project, right? So the pitch is often pretty good. Now, whether the full movie is good or not is another thing, but it's a distillation of the complete hour, 2 hour movie, right? In 10 minutes. So, but why am I watching these, or why do I find it interesting? Because there's consistent themes, especially if you're in the sci-fi horror genre, that could be basically very informative. If certain things happen, you have an idea of, maybe what the best plan of action might be. What do you think about that?
Well, yes. There's always the danger of, you know, what I call information constipation. There's some people that are obsessive researchers just pile on this, you know, pile higher and deeper, more of the same. And it bogs them down mentally, physically, indeed spiritually, because, you know, the crushing weight of all this bad news, essentially, creates indecision paralysis, mm-hmm. mental paralysis, et cetera, et cetera. People really should be problem solving. I mean, it's no surprise, Misaki, that throughout the world, in particular countries, especially, who are the ones that woke up en masse to this, you know, plague, this cinematic plague that we've been all subjected to? It was precisely those that didn't go through the college brainwashing and lobotomizing. It was the truckers. It was the carpenters. It was the plumbers. It was electricians. These are doers. These are people that were problem solvers by nature. Okay, you know, I have a job to do. Here are the tools with which I've got to do it. Here's the time constraints of which I've got to do it in. Do I have everything I need? Can I get the job done right now? If not, what do I need to get? You know, I mean, these are people, the wheels are spinning. Solutions. And so what's happened is that this concept of overtaken by events has just like steamrollered all these people, even in the truth community, so-called elements of the truth community, where this is because they didn't see it coming to this extent. Like you said earlier at the outset, we knew this was coming at some point. We just, you know, the dramatic suddenness of it all kind of took us, you know, we're somewhat taken aback by it. But because of the spell casting aspect, their ability to shift the collective focus from one to another. Now, the collective focus obviously now is on the plague, right? But, you know, there are sub elements within that whole framework. Last year and the years before, it was hate on the redheaded carrot head guy, right? Just true Saul Alinsky fashion, focus. You know, through Hollywood.
Whitey is definitely going to be a focus of.
Oh, Whitey has been a focus of this.
They're going to be the scapegoat.
Well, it is. But you know, it's this grand chessboard of life. Yes, that's how it's being played out.
What's interesting, James, is you know, we've heard Jordan Maxwell talk about Hollywood, right? What's L.A. or Hollywood? What's the industry here? Hollywood. That's Mickey Mouse with the Fantasia hat. He's got the magic wand. And he's sprinkling the pixie dust in people's eyes. Right. That's Fantasia. That's Mickey Mouse, the magician. And Disney has a thing called Imagineering. Right. Imagineering. So what they have done is taken the human being, which is an innately magical and creative being. Right. Because the AI, no matter how fast it can compute, it may have complete logical mastery. And it, really, James, if you think about it, what is the pinnacle or the ultimate of the 3D reality? It's artificial intelligence. But you're talking about the satanic master of the 3D earth. As far as like the manifestation, the abstract thinking, the art of it all. And remember, art is magic and magic is art. AI cannot do magic. Now they can juice people and use MyLabs and MKs and other people to do the magic form, but they cannot, they'd have no magical element to it, right?
Indeed, and just to interject for a second, some people are natural alternate reality jumpers, natural timeline jumpers, natural time travelers, and natural astral travelers, which is, you know, beyond time and space as we understand it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm born and grown in L.A., so it was, you know, L.A. is a great training ground if you're into high strange, because we got number one, we got Hollywood. Even though it's pretty much dead now, right? It pretty much died. It was dying, but it really died. I think it'll be completely over now with the pandemic. But we had Hollywood. We had a lot of military contractors, you know, Boeing, TRW, and so forth. And then we have the university system here too. So, you know, UCLA, very famous for MKUltra and other things. So a lot of people are not aware of. You had Daryl Hamamoto on. Everybody talks about the government and the military, but they don't talk about the university system, which is, it's so overlooked that they're very blatant about what they're doing and people don't even notice, right?
Oh, yeah. There's psychology and sociology and behavioral studies projects. Dr. Lewis Gelman West there at UCLA And also, you look at the weapons of mass destruction that programs throughout the UC college system, just the UC system.
Yep.
You know, out on the campus, you have all these no nukes protesters, but in the offices, they're planning nuclear annihilation. You know.
Well, you know what? Just as a side note, as a as a tangent, right? I went to Stanford one time. And this was when I didn't know nothing from nothing. This is like late 90s. I was just out of high school. You know, you have your friends that are going to other universities. So I was at UCLA, but I had some friends up in Stanford. And I stayed up in the dorms. Very nice, James. And the meals were excellent. Way better than Cal Berkeley, I can tell you that. But guess what? I look back, and that Stanford campus is pure MK Ultra. You talking about SRI MK Ultra? Because that's what it is. And we've seen this in many movies, but the way the students were living, it's like you're in little pods and the campus is like, it's like a fake environment, and everything you're doing is a total experiment. It's interesting looking back. Yeah. But, you know, going back to the whole Hollywood and the Imagineering, is that they can basically, in a Matrix type fashion, remember how you had all the humans jacked in feeding the machine, right? Well, imagine if you can harness the energy of 50,000 plus people at Burning Man that are totally out of their minds on drugs, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, on the playa, which is a stylized pentagram.
Could you tell me what the Burning Man is? I'm not familiar with that. I know the
Burning Man,
it's
a festival that originated in the Bay Area, that actually started on the shores of the Presidio, which should be informative of where the Burning Man is coming from, right? So, you know, Presidio, very famous for their satanic cult activity there, right? And it was a scene, you know, and again, nothing's ever totally good or bad, but there's a lot of kind of eyebrow raisers around Burning Man. So it was kind of, you know, Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, very famous for alternative lifestyles, hippies, bohemian fringe culture. So, and I'm sure it was quite interesting, actually. In its earlier days, it's become very commercialized now, but they used to do it in San Francisco, and then after a while they moved it more to like a camping experience, and then it ended up in this kind of like desert area, and now it's grown to like 50,000 people. I don't know if they'll do it in the future, but it's on us because they make the camps like, there's so many people now, you know, they map out where you're going to be. But if you look at it from a satellite photo, you could pull this up like Burning Man Playa. You know, it's a radionic symbol, James. I'll say that, you know, the signs and symbols, shapes have a power to it. That's some kind of occult ritual. Okay. And so if you have 50,000 people, and I'm, you know, they're having a good time, but if you are of the esoteric mind or quote unquote magician or radionics practitioner, right? You look at what's going on. There's a clear flow chart, A plus B equals C, because again, this is pure energy, and you have to know when you crack your energy open with drugs and alcohol, and you add like some kind of sex, that's basically Aleister Crowley, Crowleyan sex magic, right? And I'm sure they're having a good time, but when you enter a ritual space, and it could be something as simple, James, as like, say, you know, with the Polynesians, you know, like in Hawaii, the kahuna, he just has his finger. He draws a line in the sand. You cross that line, you are effed, because it is an energetic division. And then he in front of you drew a line in the sand. He says, cross this line. Once you cross this line, you have entered his space, and you are subject to the rules of the people that created that space. So if you are at a festival, especially on a ritual date where the portals are open in a certain geographical location, right? And you're focusing your attention on these artists that are always doing hand symbols, weird projections in the background. You got all kinds of tones and carrier frequencies in the music, a lot of times in the bass tones, right? And the promoters or whoever's behind this large festival has the intention of harvesting the energy and redirecting it somewhere else. What do you think it is? This is a damn magical ritual, right? So if we go back, now that's a physical location, and I'm sure it's happening at a lot of things like Glastonbury, Burning Man, so forth, right? But the movies are no different, or Netflix nowadays. You get enough eyeballs, you focus the attention, you shift the reality. But the thing is that me being a Scorpio sign, I always looked at the darker aspects to understand the whole, because if you understand the framework and how they're working it, how the powers that be are working it, it's a tool. So you go flip it the other way. It's like an Aikido move. It works. It doesn't just work both one way. It works both ways. And that goes again for the time we're in. There's a lot of heavy things going on, and a lot of people are in despair, right? But guess what? Why are they talking about Great Reset now? Because it's a time for a reset, not just their reset. So you better get off your butt and start making it your reset. Because if you sit around and do, if you're purely reactive, you're gonna lose. But what I see, James, having done the most number of readings last year than ever before, common theme. I see a lot of our kind of people, because if you're interested in numerology, or you're looking at James Bartley videos or checking me out, you're probably of a different mind, or you have a more open mind, right? Or you're more so-called Aquarian, and we are in the Aquarian age now. So these kind of fringe people, the oddballs, a lot of them are holistic practitioners, they're esoteric readers. Some of them have gone to the MK Ultra MyLab experience. We are, if you didn't know above board, you had the subconscious, or the inner feeling or knowing that what the mainstream says is not all that is. So we had a better read. It's just that we were cast as outsiders before, but now Aquarius rules the weirdos and fringe. So now we are perfectly primed to take advantage of this time. And so what I'm seeing, James, is there's a lot of people of our kind of people that they're about to take a major step forward in life path, career, and all of that. So it's time for a reset, not just Klaus Schwab, globalist reset. So I think a lot of our people this decade will actually excel. Because people are talking about prepping and just surviving, but that's a purely reactive. You need to do your prep, but a lot of us can actually excel because we have the knowledge and tools to really do some amazing things. And I think you know this. The mainstream thinking is not answering the questions that people have right now. So that's the upside of what I see. The only thing is, if people are expecting things to be calm and go back to normal, that's not going to happen. What you're going to see is, against the background of general chaos, that a lot of our kind of people will actually be doing quite well while the whole thing is hitting the fan. That's what I think is going to happen, you know?
Yeah. Also, what's happening has been underway for some time, but it's accelerating. The frauds, the deceptive types, the disinfo types. Some people call them controlled opposition. they're going to reveal themselves, because some of the lies they're trying to sustain are so blatantly, you know, obvious, right? Like, why is this individual supporting that? Why does he believe that particular narrative when you know it's complete nonsense? So that's going to help a lot of people just shift their focus away from the nonsense and get to what's really at the core of all of this, the esoteric. That's why the aforementioned Robert Phoenix is such a brilliant guy. He's a student of history, but he has an understanding of the sub rosa esoteric aspects mm-hmm. of it all too. He's a fascinating guy to listen to, as you know. So, and the fact that so many, you know, leaders are emerging in our field, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, to be followed, one must be worthy of being followed. And then that's the problem with all these psychotic reptilian hybrid sewer scum, you know, posing as our leaders today, right? They're unworthy of following their directions and listening to their orders and what have you, because there's evil scum. But the people who are, you know, rising to the fore, a lot of these people, as you know, for the most part, they're operators behind the scenes. They don't make, you know, big noises. They don't draw attention to themselves. They just get a lot of the work done in the background, right? And they're like the aforementioned tradesmen and carpenters and construction workers and truck drivers. They're doers. By nature, they're doers. They're not just thinkers. They're not just people who just sit around and contemplate. And by thinking too much, sometimes we get into a headspace. We get out of our embodied nature, heart-centered embodied nature. And thinking can be a big trap, as you know. So anyhow, we've reached the end of a fascinating first segment with our guest, Masaki Miyagawa. Masaki, can you give our listeners and viewers your website and your contact info?
Sure. My website is akaida.com. It's akaida.com. I have a YouTube, Akaida TV, and I'm actually winding my shop down, James, but I'll be around at least at the end of the first quarter. But, that's another thing. There's a lot of birth and rebirth and transformation going on. But, I just want to thank you, James. I think it was 5 years ago I really started doing interviews, getting interviewed, and you were really the first one. So kind of rounding it out here now in 2022. Very interesting, James, and very glad to be on your show.
Oh, it's an honor and privilege, buddy. And to our dear listeners and viewers out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com site and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.